Tom Skilling, how are you?
Good, John. How are you?
I'm terrific. Is there any chance that this Category 4 Florence hurricane bearing down on the southeast coast is going to turn or slacken up? That happens sometimes. They're always saying Category 4 or whatever, and it's going to be terrible. And then so often it seems storms aren't as bad as they appear to be a day before they hit. What's your sort of forecast for this hurricane?
Well, there seems to be nothing to inhibit its intensity, nor to interfere terribly with its track. I mean, we've had 5 days of models essentially taking it on the same track, and that is one that heads it toward the Carolinas. It's over in a no-shear zone, over warm water, and will be. It'll start right as it approaches the coast to be sheared a little bit, and will upwell some cooler water. So the thinking, John, in practical terms, is that this thing will oscillate between Cat 4 and Cat 5. In other words, its winds will be between 140 and 155 miles per hour through tomorrow. And then as it gets ready to landfall, it might go down to a Cat 3. But that's still a major storm. This thing is really going to be offer them a devastating blow. The storm surge is particularly harsh in that area. The continental shelf goes out 50 miles, and in that region of the United States, the water's shallow. It's only 125 feet deep at most in that 50 miles. So when a hurricane comes in, its winds pile up the water very quickly and efficiently. And therefore, the history of storms of comparable strength like Hugo and Hazel are that they produce storm surges that go up to 15 to 20 feet, which is devastating. I think about raising the level of Lake Michigan 15 to 20 feet, then putting 20 to 25-foot waves at the shoreline on top of it. Those waves will be up to 50 feet offshore. And then on top of that, dump 20 to 25 inches of rain and have the storm, once it's ashore, slow down. This has all the earmarks of becoming the Hurricane Hazel of 2018, the hurricane, the one that hit... I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, it's comparable to the storm that hit Houston last year in that sense. And by the way, studies of how these tropical cyclones are behaving in this warming atmosphere, this warming environment, is that they slow down and they tend to have more water to work with because the atmosphere in which they're occurring is warmer and holds more water. And so just as happened last year in Houston, that storm stalled and essentially was over the same area for days. This one may do the same thing once ashore.
Mm.
So it comes in with a whole set of hazards, storm surge that could be near record levels, rains that could be near record levels in an area that already has had a lot of rain and then which the soils are saturated already, and it may sit there for days. And then on top of that, you blast the coastline with waves and high tides. So, you know, that's a bad picture. Anybody in these barrier islands, you know, these hold-ons that tend to ignore the warnings and decide they're going to ride the storm out, they're going to be in some serious trouble if they don't follow the evacuation orders that are out for this storm in those barrier islands up and down the Carolinas.
Speaking of...
That's a mean storm, John.
Wow. By the way, speaking of
that...
To put
it in historic perspective,
yeah,
there have only been three Category 4 storms that have hit the U.S. coastline from South Carolina northward. This one may actually hit the coastline if it were to get ashore as a hurricane, a Category 4. In other words, if it had 140-mile-per-hour winds at landfall, and it may fall just short of that by the time it reaches landfall, but you're going to hear reports out over the open waters of 150-mile-an-hour winds in this thing in the next couple of days. If it were to go ashore as a Cat 4, it would be the most northerly landfalling hurricane of this intensity to ever occur on the U.S. coastline since 1851. And we've got pretty good records of hurricane landfalls on the U.S. coastline going back that far. So this thing is in a category all by itself and ranks up there with Hugo, and many of us will remember that. That's the one that went ashore close to Charleston, Hilton Head Island, areas like that. And those cities were spared its full brunt because the center went onshore just north of there. And the way the winds blow around a hurricane, the winds were offshore in those locations, but they were onshore up in North Carolina. And that's where you really pile the water up and get the storm surge. So these folks out east are facing quite a storm.
One last quick question from Tom on line one. What was your question, Tom? You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Tom, I just wanted to know, my wife and I are supposed to fly to Charleston, South Carolina on Saturday. Should we cancel?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd give this a chance. Charleston may, if the track is right, escape the full storm surge. But this thing's going to park out there. And so, there are going to be rains running through that area through the weekend and perhaps into early next week. So I don't think it'd be the kind of place I'd want to go for vacation, at that. I think I would definitely call that one off for now.
Okay, Tom, good luck to you. Thanks for the call. And Tom Skilling, there's a climate scientist over at Northwestern, said climate change these days, or a warmer climate, is not going to make more storms, but when we get them, they're going to be more violent. And that's
absolutely
what it sounds like we've got here.
Oh, there's no question. A lot of people have the false impression that climate scientists have been telling them there'll be more storms. Not at all. The thinking is the storms that occur will be stronger. And by the way, that's a trend that's been observed, John. So it's already happening. And Harvey last year in Houston, I'm fumbling for that name. Yep. Hurricane Harvey last year in Houston, that dropped 35 trillion gallons of water on that city. That's like multiple days of the water that goes over Niagara Falls. It all fell on that city. And, of course, they haven't been very prudent in the way they planned that city. So they built in floodplains and everything else. And it was a disaster. And they're still recovering from it down there in the Houston area. So this thing, the only thing you can say positive about this up to this point is at least we don't have a Houston-sized city in the area this is going to go ashore. But the heavy rains from this could extend up to Washington, D.C., Baltimore, and areas like that. So they may get in on some of this as well.
Hurricane Florence is a Category 4 right now, and a Category 6 scientist is Tom Skilling. Category 6 scientist.
Yeah. There's a debate about that, John, whether we ought to do a Category 6. And there are a lot of pros and cons that people throw around on that. I don't think it's a bad idea, frankly. But we may have, there are limits to the wind speed these storms can produce because there's a certain amount of frictional drag that the winds bring to bear on the ocean and the waves they produce. So there's kind of a top limit of where they will go. It should be noted that with sustained winds of 140, 150 miles an hour, you can still get open sea gusts up to 170, 180 miles an hour out over the ocean.
John,
and you wouldn't want to.
Tom, John and I were talking.
You wouldn't want to be an ocean liner in that.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow. What, Steve?
I was just going to say, John and I were talking about situational drag yesterday, so we know exactly. We're very familiar with that.
We were not. All right. I know you're busy, Tom. I know you got a lot of charts and maps.
Oh, John, I'll tell you, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
You are more than welcome. Thanks, John. Good to talk to you. Take care, Steve.
See you, Tommy.